It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Gene Purcell, in for Rob Ferret. Coming up, a group of prominent conservatives released a new guide today on policy geared towards the middle class, a response to concerns that Republicans are losing touch with middle class issues.
First, our next guest is an expert in the tradition of woodland flute making. The flutes are named after the woodland tribes who played them over the years, the Ojibwe, the Potawatomi, and Menominee.
Our guest learned the craft from teachers among the Ojibwe in Wisconsin and other states, and today he is a teacher and performer himself who has performed in Europe and Japan, and his recordings have sold widely.
Frank Montano joins us now. He drove all the way from Red Cliff in northern Wisconsin to be with us here in the studio. Frank, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I wanted to see if we could do something unusual and just start with you playing some of these flutes that you brought, because they're so beautiful. They're sitting in our studio, and you've made them yourself by hand. Would you start us off with something?
Sure. These are flutes that are, one of them is a really old flute, and it's been on most of the recordings that I put out. It's recordings with North Sound that were in shop goes all over the world at one time.
Wow.
And Target stores and with Nature Sounds. So this is made out of redwood, and this is about 30 years old. One of the first ones that really turned out well.
Beautiful. So thank you so much.
It's a smaller diameter one. And then through the years, people have come up with a lot of different ways of making flutes. And this is a...
And you've got what looks like a double flute there.
This is called a drone flute. And it has one chamber that just carries one note. And it creates sometimes more than two notes you'll hear, because those notes clash together and they create these harmonics. So it's really interesting how a number of these have been around the country that people have gotten from me. I don't know where they are.
So. And you make these by hand. I'm curious, how did you first get started playing the woodland flute?
One of my friends years ago, I had been out in our tradition, we go out and we sit in the woods and we fast. And I was back from a fast, and it was my birthday, and one of my friends came over. And he had a flute that he had gotten from someone because he knew that I wanted because I play a lot of other instruments. You know, since I was probably 4 or 5 years old, I've been playing a lot of different instruments through the years. And the flute was something that I wanted to do, and then he gave me one. And I played it for a while, and then I needed to learn how to make them myself. So I started to look around for elders that I could offer some gifts to and ask about these things. And it just came through time, you know, through learning how to make them and to realizing that the things they were teaching me, the elders, was about the idea of the spirits that come with the flutes and the songs and how to play them and go out and sit in the woods and by the lake and listen to all the nature sounds and learn from what happens there and hope that a song comes to you.
And I read somewhere that when you got that first flute, you realized this was the music you'd been missing your whole life. What did that feel like?
It was really a good feeling, a peaceful feeling. And the learning about the flutes and how the songs are created, I was told that the way I play them, I was told that it creates two songs. And the high notes are speaking with spiritual entities around you. And the lower register of notes speaks to the humans and all the creation here, and then brings those two, an attempt to bring those two together, which creates this feeling of peacefulness and healing.
So
I keep those things in the mind every time I perform with the traditional flutes. And making them is also the thoughts that you know, I was told the thoughts that you're thinking when you're making them goes into those instruments. So I can't just sit and make them anytime I want to. I need to feel right.
So there's a lot more than just sitting down and making it. It's a mental process, a spiritual process too.
Yeah.
Well, you're holding this, I don't know, double flute, it looks like. Could you tell us a little bit about that and then maybe play something from it?
It's called a drone flute, and it has one side that's just a low note, a bass note. And then it's tuned to the low note on the side with six holes in it. And those two start out together, but as the other one moves up the scale, it sometimes creates harmonics and other notes are heard, you know. And it all depends on the room also. So I'll play a little bit on that so you can hear what that double note sounds like. Notice those, those harmonic notes that are created.
The harmonic notes are that's lovely. Is that one any harder to play than the other one?
It takes a little more wind. It depends on how they're constructed, because the way I was taught are bridges that cover a wind chamber in the back and a sound chamber, which starts under this part in the middle. That's a bridge. There's a piece underneath that is made out of birch bark. And that thickness of that determines how much air can get from the wind chamber to the sound chamber. And if that's a little thicker, then it takes more air. So a double flute, you know, takes a lot more air. If you're a smoker, you have a hard time playing these, because I haven't smoked for probably 40 years. But, they do take more air.
Mm. You know? Well, you make these yourself. Where do you get the wood to carve them with? Where do you find that? And does it matter which?
Well, some of it I get, right across the road from where we live. There's a cedar grove over there, and there's trees that are hanging, and it's, you know, some of the wood is dried already. So I'll travel over across the road, and in our traditional way, we offer something when we take something, you know, and we offer gifts, and we take these pieces of wood and use them. And when I do that, if it's a round branch, then you have to, where the sound part is, you cut down and make a flat surface for the sound lip to be cut in there and for that to work. But if it's another piece, you know, I might hunt, sometimes I'll go to a lumber yard and look for their top grade cedar. And it used to be a time when we could get white cedar up here, which is what we have in our area. But now, in the lumber yards, all you can get is red cedar, because they said they take all the white cedar from here, ship it out west. They cut red cedar out there, ship it up here. I don't know why. I think it has to do with money. And then recently, a few years ago, after making that first redwood flute, then I saw an ad in a paper, and an elderly man was, by a place called Grandview, was tearing docks apart and grading all that lumber because people were putting in metal docks. And he volunteered to take their docks down. And then so he has all these sheds full of pieces of redwood that some of it's 100 years old. And I bought a stack of that redwood and some of the more recent flutes. This is a red cedar, but this is one of the examples with the bird head on the end of it.
Yeah, that's a beautiful one. As long as I'm seeing it here, now I've got to hear you play it. Could you leave us with one last piece of music?
But Yeah, I can play that one. I was just gonna. This is another one that I've started to add more to, which is a bass, a lower one. Yeah, but these with the birds head on, they're interesting too because they come out in a lower register. They all have their own little...
they all have their own personality, their own voice.
Yeah, character. They're all different, you know, each one has. And even when you play them, you feel that difference in them.
And they're beautiful. They're works of art, too.
Right.
Well, Frank, thank you so much.
They're all done by hand. And I will be doing a workshop in Lac du Flambeau at the Dillman's Resort in June. So people, I think that's still open for registration. Me and another young man that makes or plays flute, he doesn't make them. We're doing a workshop together in the middle of June I don't know, I have the dates.
If people are interested. Well, we can put that up on the Central Time Facebook page, and we're also going to put up a picture of you playing that that first flute that we heard. Frank, thank you so much for coming down and joining us today. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
We've been talking to Frank Montano, musician and craftsman who specializes in woodland flutes.